Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:31, Cambridge Ukrainian Studies, which is the academic centre at the University of Cambridge for the study of Ukraine, is organising an online panel on Russian disinformation. It takes place tonight. One of those taking part is Yevhen Fedchenko, director of the Moyler School of Journalism, joins us on the line now. Morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very welcome indeed. So tell us, how does the Russian state use the media to get across the message they want? You know, it's they have news, they have these talk shows which just seem to go on for forever, yet somehow buried in that they are pointing, we are led to believe, their people in a particular direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So we created a website called stopfake.org 8 years ago to follow actually Russian disinformation and to map their main platforms to disseminate disinformation and to map their main narratives. And what I can say from our 8 years long research is that actually they substituted the whole national media system with disinformation system, and everything they have on television, either state television or quasi-state television, is about disinformation and propaganda. So basically, it took them 8 years to build absolutely alternative reality for domestic audience. And if you spend any time watching one of those TV shows you mentioned over there, you would be absolutely immersed in something which has nothing to do with reality. I don't know if you've seen the article written years and years ago by the New York Times journalist who basically locked himself up in a Moscow hotel and just was watching Russian TV from morning till evening. And he said it was just crazy. He was losing the sense of reality around him, so immersive this experience is and so frustrating it is, even for a person whose job is actually journalism and sorting out news and facts for others. So I might say that everything they've been doing during the last 8 years or even more actually created, really created absolutely parallel reality for Russian audience. Yeah. And that's why I'm not surprised that many people in Russia, or most people in Russia, are supporting war against Ukraine and believe that this is not war actually against Ukraine, but the war against the West and NATO, and they believe in any other type of conspiracy theory.
So 8 years, not very long at all to completely change the reality for Russian citizens when they're watching the news. We do, it was about a month or so ago now where the Russian journalist, we saw her, she went behind the screen in the on the news channel, and she sort of held up a sign which said, "They're lying to you. There is a war happening." Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm just wondering, like, what impact did she have on the Russian citizens? What did they make of that?
Yeah, I think it had zero impact on Russian citizens, first of all. And then I also want to say that it had zero impact on Ukrainians, because it's very odd to see a person who spent 8 years actually creating this system and manufacturing lies then just go on screen and spend 1 minute and then end up at the lavish job somewhere abroad, you know. So for us, it was more like just a stunt, you know.
Absolutely
empty and absolutely kind of pointless, because at this point, you already cannot stop this system. This system is kind of a self-organized and self-propelling towards its own objectives.
And it is not just within Russia, of course. I think of outside of Russia, there was until recently, I almost find it bizarre, really, thinking about it, a channel run by the Kremlin, Russia Today, and there it is, sitting on the UK's Freeview system, which basically means that anybody in the country can quite easily flick through. You can't get a Premier League match on Freeview, but you can get Russian propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, my organization was advocating for years and years that everything which is related to Russian agitprop should be deplatformed, and people who are part of this system should be sanctioned at least, because what they are doing is not about alternative views or just, you know, some views and let the audience sort it out for themselves what is right and what's not. But actually, they've been manufacturing pretexts for this war, and they've been preparing this war. And
so do you think that Russia today was used then to try and
understand about this war? That it's not only about kinetic things happening on the ground, but this war was mediated by this propaganda, and now is also conducted by the means of propaganda as well. So all these people are complicit in the war crimes, actually.
And it's amazing because you look, I think of, you know, some of the personalities, you know, the people like Alex Salmond, former Scottish National Party leader, now with his own Alba Party. Journalists who I've seen, I don't know, reading the news overnight on another channel, there they are on Russia Today, and they are happy, at least they were, and I think many of them went on to resign. They're happily reading this news in English. It seems somewhat bizarre that people are willing to do that.
Yeah, I think it was a strategy by RT to invite as many British journalists and other famous faces to participate. First of all, to demonstrate that it's not about actually Russia, it's something international. And they've been saying it's like, you know, BBC or something like that. So they were pretending that they just another news channel. And some people even were disorientated to the point when they couldn't say that this channel is actually coming from Russia, because they saw native speakers with great English, you know, some familiar faces. And that was not kind of a lot of propaganda, because it was kind of very kind of smartly built in between other types of programming. So now they are absolutely open that, yes, we are agitprop, and if we would go to our we would see the same narratives they are pushing.
Yeah, no, it's
domestic audience. Yeah. So now they are absolutely open. But during previous years, they were trying to kind of masquerade it as a part of the real journalism, I think.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area. I just kind of wish we had a bit more time to talk about it. There was a discussion about it tonight, though, which is being organised. How can people attend?
Yeah, so people actually can either subscribe and join the Zoom, or they can go to the Facebook and register over there. But what I can say is that the lineup for this panel is absolutely great. We would have many Ukrainian colleagues of mine who would share Ukrainian experience, and I think it's absolutely unique, because these days nobody knows better than Ukrainians how propaganda can be killing people and how to stop it.
Yeah, no, that's and what are people looking for? What do they need to search? Do they just search Cambridge Ukrainian Studies? Will that help them find?
Absolutely. That would be the place to look for this discussion.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And for talking us through that. Cambridge Ukrainian Studies, then, if you want to take part in this session, online session this evening. What time does it start?
Actually, it starts 5 p.m. UK time.
Okay, 5 o'clock tonight. That is good. Yevhen, thank you very much for joining us. It takes us to 8:39.
Cambridge 105 Radio.